If you've been here for in recent weeks, you know that we're doing a series of studies called Midnight Bible Stories. There's a lot of them in Scripture. And we're working our way towards Acts 12, a Midnight Bible Story about Peter. But before we get there, we're doing a lot of background information on Peter. And that's just the way the Lord directed my thinking here. We did a lot of background on Gideon before we got to the midnight Bible story of Gideon and his 300. It would be good if you are familiar with the midnight story of Peter's escape from prison in Acts 21. But we're going to go back and to Luke 5 and continue with some thoughts that we have concerning Peter and his introductions in Scripture, how it was he became one of the kingdom apostles. He was a disciple of Jesus. And I want to read, I hope you've read and remember the story in Luke 5, 1 through 11. And there we find that Jesus used Peter's boat, his ship, to preach a sermon. Of course, Peter was in the ship. And then he says, Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. And Peter says, okay. And he let down a net. It was filled with so many fishes that the net broke. It began to tear. What the thinking was here. They called the other ship out there with John, and John, who also became an apostle, and they filled up both ships. So Jesus paid the rent for the ship, didn't he, with that abundant amount of fish. Let's read verses 8 through 11 of Luke 5. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. And so I want to continue here, taking note of some other thoughts concerning the number of times we find three different records of some threes associated with Peter. There's a lot of threes associated with Peter. His three names: Simon, Peter, Cephas. Pick one. You're talking about the same guy in reference to Peter. There are in Scripture three records showing that Jesus told Peter he would make him a fisher of men. And we just read one of those in Acts 5:10, where Jesus said to Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Go back to Matthew 4:18 through 20. This is another record of this. There's a lot of threes again associated with Peter. We find three major sermons of Peter in Scripture. We'll talk about that a little bit as we progress in this study. Matthew 4:18 through 20, and it says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And the third account of this is found in Mark 1, 16 and 17. It's kind of like going to be like Scott's class here. Oh, you need some Band-Aids to cover all the paper cuts you get from flipping the scriptures in this lesson today. In Mark 1, 16, it says, "Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he being Jesus, he saw Simon and Andrew and his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Now, when we talked about this last time in Luke 5:6, we mentioned that the great multitude of fish that Peter caught here in Luke 5 in his net, it kind of foreshadowed the great multitude of souls Peter would later catch as a fisher of men. The Lord was getting him used to the idea of these great multitudes. He was teaching him some lessons. I mentioned a minute ago, and there are three major sermons that Peter preached after the day of Pentecost. And he wasn't equipped to preach until after the day of Pentecost, because it took the power of the Holy Ghost to give Peter the courage to say what he had to say. It gave him the power. And the first of these three sermons was actually preached on the day of Pentecost. And you can read it in Acts 2, 14 through 40. We'll reference portions from this sermon as we progress through this study. But the results of that sermon, about 3,000 souls were saved. Wow. And that was Peter that preached that sermon? Peter's second sermon is recorded in Acts 3, 12 through 26. The result of that sermon are found in Acts 4, where it is noted that about 5,000 souls were saved. By a sermon by Peter? Wow. So obviously, Peter wasn't afraid of the multitudes as a fisher of men. And I want you to go to Acts 5 for a moment. And I will mention Peter's third major sermon in a moment. But before we get there, in Acts 5, I want you to look at verses 12 through, at least 16. And it says there in Acts 5:12, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord." Note this word, multitudes, both of men and women. How many is that? Multitudes is a lot. "Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid hands on them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one." The multitudes, as a result of Peter becoming a fisher of men that came to him. Wow. And there's a lot of other scriptures found in Acts before Acts 12, which we'll eventually get to, that tell of the great success Peter had as a fisher of men. He, his ministry, robbing hell of multitudes from going to a Christless eternity. Now go to Acts 10. In Acts 10, we find the third major sermon recorded in Scripture that Peter preached, and the text of that is found in Acts 10, 34 through 43. It was at this sermon was at the house of a Gentile, an Italian guy named Cornelius. Okay? And let's see. To Peter's astonishment in Acts 10, 44 through 46, we find, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision, that would be the Jews, which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So we mentioned that there were three major sermons that we find in Scripture recorded by Peter. We've hinted and showed you where they're located now. A little later on in this study, we'll go over some other common facts found in Peter's three major sermons. Okay, we're still in this process of introducing our midnight Bible story concerning Peter's midnight escape from Herod's prison in Acts 12. But as we go through this, as we learn who Peter was, we're getting a more insight, and maybe it'll make what we read in Acts 12 more meaningful in that midnight Bible story found in Acts 12. Go to Acts 12 for a moment. You're almost there anyway. One more connection we can make with what we read and studied last week concerning Peter being a fisherman in Luke 5. We can make a connection what is found in Acts 12 concerning his partners in the fishing business. In Luke 5:10, we read that James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were partners with Peter. Now in Acts 12, this time frame, some 12 to 15 years later after Luke 5, we read in Acts 12, 1 and 2, "Now about that time, Herod the king," that would be Herod Agrippa II, I believe it is, in history, "he stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword." So between our introducing James, the brother of John, in Luke 5 and the death of James, the brother of John, in Acts 12, both James, the brother of John, and John, they had a lot more interactions with Peter and with Jesus. And let's go now to John 21, where we'll read about one of these times. So we're going to John 21 now. Told you, we're bouncing around. I'm going to ask you a question, and then you can figure out the answer. I'll even answer it for you. In New Testament, how many books are there? 341? No, 27. Okay, the Apostle Paul, he wrote 14 of them. Luke, he was a disciple of the Apostle Paul. He wrote two of them, Luke and Acts. Mark was a nephew to Barnabas. He was also taught Paul's gospel message. He was also, towards the end, profitable to Paul's ministry. He wrote the book of Mark. One of Jesus' disciples, Matthew, wrote the book of Matthew. John wrote the book of John. He also wrote the book of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. He also wrote the book of Revelation. That's five books he wrote in the New Testament. Peter, our guy that we're studying about, he wrote two of them, 1 and 2 Peter. So just think about that. These guys were important guys in Scripture. Okay, now you're in John 21. We've noted so far in this study three different names associated with Peter, three famous sermons of Peter, and three different accounts of him called to be a fisher of men. We've noted when we started going back through here how that Peter never caught any fish in Scripture without the help and the assistance of Jesus. We read one account of that in Matthew 17, 27. We read another account of that in Luke 5, 1 through 11. The third account of this is found in John 21. And this is where we find how another time how Peter was only able to catch fish by following Jesus' instructions. And now, to set the time for John 21, this occurred after Jesus' death and resurrection. And before this time, in John 21, there's another low light, if you will, recorded of Peter and the threes associated with Peter. And that would be the dark midnight that Peter denied Jesus three times. Then Jesus was crucified shortly after that next morning. All four gospel records tell of Peter's denial of Jesus. And I'll give you those scriptures if you're taking notes. We'll go to, you're in John already. Go back to John 13. The scriptures that I'm going to reference are that we find the story of Peter's denial are in Matthew 26, 31 through 35. Also, Matthew 26, 69 through 75. You can read about it in Mark 14, 26 through 31. And also Mark 14, 66 through 72. Luke 22, 31 through 34. In Luke 22, 54 through 62. In John 13, 36 through 38. Also in John 18, 15 through 27. Now, Jesus and Peter had the following brief discussion at the Last Supper, John 13, 37. Peter said unto Jesus, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. That's a good, bold, bolsterous statement Peter made, and he wasn't afraid to make them. Okay? And Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, that means truly, truly, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Thrice is three times, and of course we know that happened. I'll read you from Matthew 26, 74 and 75. It tells the result of Peter's denial. Then began he, Peter, to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now, we're within a couple of weeks of this time in John 21. And so after Jesus' death and resurrection, we read in John 21 that Peter again returned to fishing. And, of course, we know how good a fisherman he was on his own. Well, we won't go into that again. John 21, 2. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, who was that? James and John. And two other of his disciples. We find seven of Jesus' disciples going fishing here. And who was their leader? Peter. Gives you the idea who Peter was, what kind of influence he had over these guys. John 21:3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we'll also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. It's kind of funny, isn't it? There's a lot of lessons here. He caught nothing on his own. Peter seemed to have forgotten that Jesus, as we mentioned in Luke 5, Jesus was really the captain of Peter's ship. And as such, as a believer, Jesus was the captain of Peter's life. And Jesus is the captain of your life too. Now I want you to listen to this. This will make some sense. You might even get a laugh out of it. But more importantly, I want to hear you to hear what's being said. I think from what we've determined of Peter, you can say Peter was an alpha male. An alpha male in the animal kingdom is the leader of the pack, the one that all the rest of them follow. An alpha male among men, and you hear this description quite a bit anymore, oh, he's an alpha male or she's an alpha female or something like that. Well, an alpha male among men is a man tending to assume a domineering role in social or professional situations. Peter was this kind of alpha male who influenced six of Jesus' disciples to follow him for another one of his famous midnight fishing adventures. And once again, they caught nothing until Jesus came on the scene and changed everything. Jesus, too, was an alpha male. But he's much more. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, our risen Savior, our healer, our Redeemer, our Provider, our Shepherd, the Prophet of the Highest, our Deliverer, a Buckler, a Shield, a high tower, the creator, the rock of our salvation, a fortress, a very present help in the time of need, a refuge in times of trouble, a sanctifier, a lifter up, a strengthener, a counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Glory, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the way, the truth, in the life, the Word of God, the Holy One of Israel, the Lamb of God, the I Am, the Light of the World, the Only Begotten Son of God, the Apostle and High Priest, the Everlasting Father, the Most High, the Son of Man, the Justifier, the Hope of Israel, the Righteous Lord, the Captain of our salvation, the Author and Finisher of our faith, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is our soon coming bridegroom, and so much more. And I don't think I repeated any of the things twice. That's Jesus. Okay, Peter, now what are you going to do again? Okay, Ty, what are you going to do again? Okay, Scott, what are you going to do again? Oh, what are we dealing with here? Go back to John 15 for a minute. Because Jesus had already told his disciples by this time that we're talking about of this midnight fishing adventure in John 21. He told them these facts found in John 15:5. And I don't even think I listed this one. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Note this part of it. For without me, ye can do nothing. He was told these same guys that are out fishing with Peter, he told them personally this very same thing. For without me, ye can do nothing. In other words, Jesus was forming all of us that without him, we can do nothing. And yes, Peter, without Jesus, you cannot catch fish. We've proved that. We're proving it here again. Go back to John 21. So now you know the secrets to why Brother Hill caught so many fish. He wasn't fishing by himself. Brother Johnson, the same thing. Danny Mountain, the same thing, okay? John 21, we find Peter and six other of his disciples on another midnight fishing trip, and once again they caught nothing without Jesus' help. And then we read in John 21:4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And the reason they didn't know it was Jesus, because they weren't looking for Jesus. They weren't looking for him in the common, everyday things of life. And we can prove that here in a moment. But how about you and me? Do we look for Jesus in everything? Jesus, our Lord, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never leave us nor forsake us. We find that in Hebrews 13:5-8 and in many other scriptures, such as Deuteronomy 31:6-8. He, as the author and finisher of our faith, is very interested in every moment of our lives. John 21:5. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? Jesus calls them children. What an insult, right? No. They were grown men. He said, children, have you any meat? Even though they were grown men, they were immature Christians. This word, children, didn't fall on deaf ears that night. And Peter, he kind of recalls this in his last words recorded in 2 Peter 3:18, where he writes, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? So we won't be found as children, right? Okay, continuing on in John 21:5. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. In verse 6, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, that's the way he addresses himself, said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and then cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, or as we would say it, about 200 yards maybe or less, dragging the net with the fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh, taketh bread, and giveth them fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. Now, we can get into this a little bit. I'm going to stop at this point in John 21. We'll pick up from there eventually, Lord willing. But in verse 14, and there's a lot more things here, but, you know, we're going to just hit some highlights. There's another series of three things associated with Peter here that connects the thoughts here in John 21:14, where we just read. Now, this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. There are three different, distinct, separate occasions when Peter was present, where Jesus told his apostles, his disciples, that he would be killed and raised again the third day. I'm talking three separate occasions. Go to Matthew 16 to start with. Not the same occasion repeated in three different gospel records. We're just going to read from the gospel record of Matthew. The first one of these records found in Matthew 16:21, his disciples being present. And from that time forth, Matthew 16:21, began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. That same story is also told in Luke 9:22, but we're not going there. We're going to go to Matthew 17. Here we read the second account in Matthew 17:22. And while they, this is Jesus' disciples, the apostles, and Jesus, while they abode in Galilee, Jesus came unto them, said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. You can read this also in Mark 9:31. And in Luke 9:44 and 45. Go three chapters later in Matthew and read another account found in Matthew 20:17 through 19. Matthew 20:17. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way. Peter would have been in that group. And said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and to the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. Keep in mind, and I want you to think about this, these were three separate occasions where Jesus told his disciples that he would be killed and rise again the third day. But these words didn't properly register with his disciples, mainly Peter and John. Go back to John, the 20th chapter, if you're still there in your Bible. I read the first 9 verses. This is the day of Jesus' resurrection. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene earlier, when it was yet dark, into the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, that's John, who Jesus loved, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they both ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, and went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, probably gasping for air, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. Note verse 9, underline this. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Now how is it, after Jesus told them 3 times that he would be killed and rise again the third day, how is it that they knew not that he must rise again from the dead? It's almost baffling, isn't it? Because we're a lot smarter than they are. Well, yeah, right, huh? Go to Luke, and we'll get the answer to this question, and then the bell will ring. Luke 18, 31 through 34. I told you. You can read that and find the answer. We'll pick this thought up next time. It's quite profound. But underlined in all this, in Peter's ministry, was the fact that Jesus was killed and that he did rise again the third day. And he even found the scriptures to back himself up.